That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Well, that's what she said.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the latest That's What She Said. Going to be talking to Jordan Rogers about The Bachelorette, his career with the SEC Network, and he's going to give me tips on my brand new college football Bachelorette program. I'm going to tell you how this works. So every time this season comes around, I get really excited for the NFL. I'm planning my Chicago Bears tailgates, and I'm planning, you know, what away games I might fly out to with friends. And I remember that the other football season is starting, and I kind of get into a funk because I've never been a big college football fan. I am not counting down the days until the season begins alongside everybody else. I'm not going back to my alma mater for big tailgates and big weekends. And so for years now, I've kind of scrambled to cover up my apathy for college football, or I've openly talked about how I'm not that interested. But the more I have to cover it for national projects or programs that I do, the more I've realized that I'm missing out on something really fun and cool. And if I'm going to invest my time in needing to talk about Bama's defense or Florida's quarterbacks or whatever, that I should at least give myself some sort of rooting interest and a reason to really get into it. Now, the reason I didn't have one before is because my alma mater, Cornell University, has a football team, and some guys end up going on to do great things from there, but they don't play in the postseason, and it's not a big college football scene. We didn't spend our Saturdays doing big tailgates and getting crazy, and oftentimes I was away from campus competing for track anyway, so I never really got that cool vibe. And growing up, I never did either, because my parents weren't big sports fans, and they actually pay much more attention to sports now that I work in sports, because they just want to kind of understand and know what I'm talking about, which is really adorable. By the way, my mom will email me and, you know, what's a walk-off and whatever else. But because they never were into it, I didn't grow up with an allegiance to any specific team that they went to that school or anything like that. So you can see how I could make it so long without really finding something to root in. I moved to LA, and I thought maybe I'll get into USC or UCLA, but while I was out there, I just didn't really feel any connection to them. And I found myself often listening to sports talk radio and changing the channel when it got to college football, local stuff, because I just wasn't invested in the storylines, and I would want to hear more national pro stuff. But now it's time, I think, to find myself a team and take control of my college football destiny. It's not too late for me to find my one true college football love and decide that that's going to be my team going forward. I am going to be ride or die whatever team I pick at the end of this college football bachelorette project. So I'm ready to be wooed by the best that the college football scene has to offer. I'm going to take a group of 24 teams, just like The Bachelor, and I'm going to whittle them down until I find my ideal squad. And I'll even, when I get down to the last two, go and do fantasy tail dates and get to know them a little better, and then pick a winner live on college game day. And the cool thing is, I really have no ties to anyone. I have a lot of friends who are really into their teams, a lot of friends that are going to try to pull me in their direction. But personally, I don't have any major college football team that has a personal tie to me in any way. So I get to make my decisions based on whether they have a cool vibe and I feel an innate sort of like connection to them, whether I like their mascot, their colors, their alumni, their tailgating scene, traditions, all sorts of cool ways that I get to figure this out. And I'm going to have you guys help me too, because I want you to be pumping the tires for your favorite squad, telling me what's so great about them, why I should love them, why they would be the team that I would fall in love with the most. So let me break it down for you guys a little bit, how I'm going to decide who gets the cut and who gets to advance every week. It's going to start next Wednesday, September 27th, and week one is called Batch Don't Kill My Vibe. So I'm going to wave goodbye to four teams based on deal breakers like notable controversies, morality issues, just plain bad vibes, which I'm sure we know there's plenty of teams that fall under that category. So I'll get from 24 to 20 with that one. Week two is called Dotting My I's. This is famous collegiate traditions from Script Ohio to the Gator Chomp, all the stuff that makes college football so special. So this is where you guys come in with your tweets and emails, and I'm going to turn 20 teams into 15 based on the best game day traditions, which schools have the best and most memorable historical traditions right before, during, and after football games. Week three is called Party Time. This is very important, as you all know. Only 10 of 15 teams are going to emerge after I judge the best tailgating scenes at every school. And you guys are once again going to help by sending photos and videos showing how your school gets down on Saturdays. Week 4 is the cool kids. 5 of 10 teams will advance based on the strength of their notable alums. So this is former athletes, famous singers, actors, scientists, just all around cool people that went to that school. These are the people that I would want to hang out with at a tailgate. I would want to root alongside every Saturday. So this is a big one. Week 5 is old school. You guys have to submit your bids to take me on fantasy tailgates to the final 2 teams. So I will have 5 remaining teams, and I will have to whittle those 5 down to just 2. And you will have to convince me why I should come to your school and go to your tailgate and give your school a chance to be the big winner. So it's all about you. Do you have the best tailgate, the coolest friends, the most fun traditions? Whoever wins this, guy, gal, group, whatever group of people or single person convinces me to go on this fantasy tailgate with them, they're going to show me around their schools and help me pick a winner. So then week 6 through 8, I'll go to 2 different tailgates sometime in those 3 weeks, depending on when the schools have a home game. And I'll really dive in and figure out which one feels the most me, which one is really speaking to me, if you will. Which one is my one true college football love? And then finally, week 9, which will be November 25th, I will give out my final rose, so to speak. I will take my college football bachelorette duties, and I will join the crew at College Game Day to announce my one true college football love. It's going to be a blast, and it all starts a week from today. I'm really pumped because I'm sick of sort of not being invested or kind of halving my interest in it. And so I'm really pumped. It's going to be something that gets me way into more into this college football season and also helps me get to know all these teams better. And I love the idea of my friends from various squads really trying to pull me in their direction. I've got Oregon, Michigan, Michigan State. Oh, so many friends from Michigan State. Wisconsin. My husband's from Wisconsin. His sister went there. So I've got a lot of people that are going to be trying to push me in a direction or the other. So I decided that I might need some help making my decisions and approaching this. How am I going to enter this college football bachelorette season with an open heart, ready for love, ready to make good decisions? And Jordan Rogers, of course, is the man to help me. He works for the SEC Network. He's a college football guy, former quarterback from Vandy, went through the entire bachelorette process and found his love in JoJo. So he's the man for the job. So here he is chatting with me about all things, including giving me some great advice on how to pick my college football love.
That's what she said.
Super excited to have Jordan Rogers on the podcast. Been wanting to chat with him anyway, especially since our only interaction was me making fun of his skinny jeans live on television. And Jordan, that was not my fault.
Right.
That was not me. That was entirely the fault of your friend and co-host, Jason Fitz, who made me do it.
I was going to say it's either Fitz or Golic for sure would give me a hard time about my skinny jeans. So you know what? It's okay. It wasn't even my skinniest pair, so I'm all right.
There we go. They looked good. It was all Fitz.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So you are a busy man. In the time since we first kind of saw you explode on the scene in The Bachelorette, where ESPN was already in talks with you to do some work, but of course that helped push along a little bit. And now you went from studio and game analyst to the main announce team for the SEC Network. So tell me exactly what all your current gigs are right now.
Yes, that was a fun process. You know, I did radio in Nashville, actually, for quite some time with ESPN. I actually, bless their heart, because I just parked myself outside the studio and was like, hey, I'm going to be here, so let me know if you want me on. This is something I want to do. So, after getting my feet kind of wet, I did half a season of games last year, some alternate channel for the SEC Network and some studio stuff. I am in Charlotte for studio every Tuesday for SEC Now, and then usually Thursday through Saturday or Sunday, I'm on site for our game on SEC Primetime for the Saturday night slot. And upcoming here, I think in a few weeks or so, me and actually Jason Fitz are going to have an NFL radio show on Sundays. So I'm going to stay pretty dang busy.
Yeah, they're keeping you very busy. So when do you actually see JoJo then? When are you in Dallas and interacting with your fiance?
Every Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, part of Thursday, and then she travels with me, depending on the city. Obviously, if it's a not very fun SEC city, she'll probably pass and align some work of her own. If it's more of a fun city, then she's going to hop on and and travel with me. So we get to see each other quite a bit.
All right, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire to name the not-so-fun cities that she won't go to. I don't want to get you in trouble with any fine people across our great country. So you also work with Cole Kubelik, right?
I do.
Yeah, so you've got a fun team over there. Tell me what it's like to sort of – I don't do much college football, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, SEC Network is its own little world down there. So tell me what it's like kind of joining that team.
Yeah, you know, Tom Hart is our play-by-play guy. And funny story about Tom, the first time we met, we were doing one of our spring tours. So during spring football, we go to these schools and kind of do some fun stuff around their campus. The first time me and Tom ever worked together, we did one of those cryo freeze. You know,
uh-huh.
We stand in it.
I've done
much
it.
Naked,
yeah.
And you
do not leave.
Yourself.
Do not leave a drop of water on yourself because it will be frostbite.
I think I burned my nipples for sure.
Yeah, but I was going to say I didn't want to point out it was my nipples, but that's what it was, and it was freezing.
So we stepped out of the cryo, and there's a hot tub, and we're like, "Hey, two guys wearing nothing but their underwear for sure. Let's get the hot tub." So that was my first interaction with Tom, and he's our play-by-play guy, and then Cole is obviously our very good-looking sideline analyst as well. So fun to get to know those guys, and obviously we have a good chemistry, and it's a really fun crew.
And then you also do a podcast with your brother Luke, right? It's called Sports Related. What do you guys talk
about?
That's
right. Yes, I do. I almost went over that. Yeah, so we record an episode every week. It's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, Sports Related. So we go over some NFL, some college football stuff because he has a background in reporting for the NFL. I'm obviously in college football. And then we literally talk anything and everything under the sun, some reality TV stuff every week because of my background in that. We have a segment where we just go through the most random and crazy stories we hear on Twitter and social media every single week. So it gets it's kind of a throw something at the wall and see what sticks every single week. But it stays loose. We have some fun with it. So, yeah, it's very, very one-off sports related.
And where does Luke live?
Luke lives in Nashville.
Okay. All right. Which is used to be your stomping grounds. You still have a place there. You moved to Dallas for the honey, and now you still get to spend a fair amount of time in Nashville or not so often?
Not as much. I was doing a radio show with Jason Fitz in the spring. So just because I love the city and because we were getting to know each other, I used to fly there every weekend for our radio show.
Wow.
So I don't get to spend as much time as I'd like. I love Nashville. It's one of my favorite cities in the country, but Dallas is a very close second. It's a great spot as well.
Now, does Luke actually work in reporting? You said he had a background in NFL reporting, or is it just a side project for him? He likes to have fun with it.
A little bit of both. He did work for both 24/7 and CBS doing some NFL reporting. Now he does it on the side and does our podcast on the side of some hobbies and habits that he has himself. So cool. A little bit of both.
Nice. So it's funny, I was kind of trying to figure out your exact gigs, and I know you kind of moved quickly from studio and part-time analysis to being on the main announce team, and there's a quote in The Big Lead that I loved, and the writer said, "I'd gotten used to sitting on my couch listening to Jordan talk about his emotional vulnerabilities and why he'd be such a good mate for JoJo." So you can imagine there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance to hearing that same voice announce plays. How much do you get of that, where it's like, you're obviously former quarterback at Vanderbilt, you've got the pedigree, you know what you're talking about, but so many people were introduced to you talking about whether you were there for the right reasons and you know, emotional intelligence.
Well, I think depending on what I'm saying about their team, they're still probably wondering if I'm there for the right reasons.
Most of the
feedback I get is really good. Obviously, there's some people that don't know I have a background in sports. They're like, "Wait, what are you doing? Why are you talking football?" Well, actually, that was actually predominantly my entire life, and so that short few month window. But it's pretty cool because you have a group of people that got to know me in a much different light. And now I think they're maybe hopping over and watching a little more football than they used to. And maybe vice versa. People that know me from football are like, "Wait a minute, maybe this reality stuff isn't so bad." So it's a fun crossover. When I get people or when I meet people out in public and they're like, "Oh, hey, you know, we know you from The Bachelor, but now we start watching SEC Network. We love what you're doing. I happen to go to Georgia or whatever." So it's a fun marriage. I get a lot of good feedback, and I get a lot of feedback that people still don't know that I actually did football and wonder why the heck they should listen to me. So it's a little bit of both, which is social media. That's why we love it and hate it.
It feels like Jesse Palmer has sort of divorced himself from the Bachelor franchise a bit more. You don't really hear him talk about it or joke about it. He's kind of like moved on. But you don't seem like someone who's like in a rush to separate yourself from that persona. I think you kind of like to play off both, and it has served you well, and people know you from it. And I like that, because I think it's kind of too bad when someone comes from that great world where that's something that people are so fascinated by and won't answer any questions. You're like, what's this like? What's this like? And they're like, oh, that was forever ago. So I think it's probably useful for you in terms of getting, you know, the diehard football people, and then also the people who are like going to love it if you kind of make fun of yourself or have a little fun with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also to that, Jesse did the show when it wasn't the craziness of social media that it is now.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a completely different animal now than it was even then. Not better or worse. It's just now you have hundreds and thousands or millions of people that are interested in your life because of something completely sports unrelated. So I enjoy the fact that that is part of my background. It's part of why people follow me and are interested in what I'm doing. And I think it's a great opportunity to just give people that continued insight into what my life is actually like now after that short, very edited version of reality TV that I was on. And now obviously something that I've been passionate about for a very, very long time with sports. And obviously me and JoJo's relationship is very real, and we love sharing some highlights and parts of that in our day-to-day life as well. So it's a good marriage. Yeah, it's not something where I'm rushing to be involved with any of the post shows or any of the now seasons of The Bachelor or anything like that. I don't really have time for that, but definitely love the fact that there's still a lot of people that know me from that or interested in that, and I'm open to answering any and all questions about that for sure.
Yeah, I think also there's probably, you know, I think it didn't cause you to get the jobs you've gotten, but it's given you an added level of notoriety and people knowing who you are. And if this career is something that you always had hoped to pursue whenever the playing career was done, it certainly gave you a bit more comfort on camera, I would assume. Like, you kind of probably don't think much about cameras at all anymore.
Oh, Sarah, if you only knew. It was so funny. And actually, this is kind of funny. The story about when my audition happened, because obviously I'd been doing radio for about a year and a half. People don't know this, but I actually retired from my contract up in the CFL. I was playing in Canada after the NFL because, frankly, and I tell people this all the time, I could have played up there, been a backup or started for a number of years and made okay money playing the CFL. But I kind of grew up wanting to be in the NFL, and I knew my window had opened and closed, as it does for a lot of people after a few stints with teams. And I was like, you know what? I've always been passionate about radio and broadcasting, and I don't want my career in football to be too separated from my chance to get into that world. So I actually retired out of the CFL and started doing radio and hiring agents and did auditions and worked the Super Bowl every year for media outlets, TV and radio. But when it comes to like The Bachelor and all the cameras, I thought it would be terrifying. First and foremost, to be kissing someone while I was knowing that my mom would be watching this show. So that was the first crazy thing. You want to talk about how easy it is to talk about football after you're in that scenario?
Right.
I had to date and fill out my heart and talk about emotions. I'm a very kind of private guy as it is. So that was probably one of the harder things I've ever done. An audition after that was no problem at all.
Yeah.
And quick funny story about that. I had scheduled an audition before the show and been talking about doing that, and actually done plenty of previous auditions with Fox and some other outlets and ESPN before. But my second audition, I had just flown straight back from Thailand from the finale of the show. So I was very tanned, which was a great thing. But the bad thing was part of my suitcase got lost.
Uh-oh.
And so the only thing I had was one blazer. It wasn't really like a dress studio blazer. It was kind of just like a, hey, nighttime, throw a T-shirt under a blazer. So I showed up and I'm like, hey, for one, I haven't had a phone or TV for about 3 months, so I have no clue what's happening in the world of football. I don't have a tie, nor do I have a suit. But you know what? I've been around a lot of cameras, so let's do this thing. And me and Dari hopped up on an audition, and I guess it turned out pretty well. So,
yeah.
Pretty funny.
Well, and there's something about, I think that's great in terms of if you're forced into the reality world where people really do see who you are, it's not about a performance. It's about being yourself, and people like that and embrace it. I'm sure it makes it a lot easier to just jump right in and do that, because a lot of people, I think, on the air takes time for them to kind of shed some of the layers of performance and just be transparent and genuinely themselves. And that's what's really appealing to people. You got to skip all that because you knew people liked who you were.
Yeah, and you know, it's still a balance. You still want to make sure that, and I think early when I got on my first couple of studios, I was trying to be so perfect with all the stats and information I had. You know, people really just want your personality. And,
yeah.
You know, I can talk football. I know I can talk football. But to be yourself, be transparent, not be worried about what people think, that was the easy transition coming from The Bachelor. You got thick skin doing that. So the football part of it was really easy.
So you played quarterback at Vanderbilt. So I have to ask you if you have any relationship with Jay Cutler, because I was a on and off again Cutler supporter in my hometown of Chicago for almost a decade.
Yeah, actually, I do. And so, interesting story. I was actually the first ever junior college mid-year transfer that Vanderbilt had. So Vanderbilt being a good academic school, on my recruiting trip, which is supposed to be, you know, you go out, you party with the team, you meet all the coaches. I didn't have any of that. I transferred in, and it was finals week. So all those Vandy kids were studying, even all the football kids. So I met one player. I met one coach. I was like, yep, I want to come here. So I showed up in January, mid-year, kind of being the new kid. Like, I didn't come in with a bunch of new freshmen. I didn't stay in the freshman dorms. I didn't really know anybody. Started hanging out with our strength coach. And Jay Cutler actually had a home in Nashville in the offseason, so he would always come back and train. And so I kind of got in with him, and he's like, hey, you know what? You don't know anybody yet. Let's go watch football this weekend. And he kind of introduced me to some of his friend group in the music scene as well. So I get to know Jay and actually really thank him for how good he was, despite what a lot of people, I think about his persona in the media at times. He was really good to me in helping usher me into this transition, a very awkward transition as a junior college transfer at an SEC school, not really knowing anybody. You know, so that I do know him from that extent, and I thank him for kind of introducing me to some people and some friendships I still have in Nashville.
Yeah, and you guys have the reality TV tie too because of Kristen Cavallari.
Yeah,
and you guys both have like really great hair for quarterbacks, which I'm sure you could like share tips on. I actually think he's an interesting cat because he used to do a regular hit on our ESPN 1000 once a week, and he got to know the guys well enough that when he would just relax and hang out, he was really funny and sarcastic and was really loose, and he's just such a different person when he likes people. And if he doesn't and he's not comfortable, woof, don't bother.
Oh, it's so true. That's why I was so excited to see him on TV.
Me too. I was like, he's going to be good at this. He's funny.
He's going to be so good because he really doesn't care. He doesn't care if you don't like him. He doesn't care if you don't like what he says. He's going to say exactly what he thinks. So I hope after his however many more years or just 1 year, however much more he's going to play, I hope he goes back to it because I actually was really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. All right, so this is another reason that I needed to have you on the pod. So I'm not a college football person. I went to Cornell. We obviously have a football team, but the Ivy League is the only league in all of the nation that doesn't have any postseason play. So, you know, you can root for them and you can be down, but it's not big college football by any stretch.
They got to study for finals.
Yeah, exactly. And I was an athlete there too, so I get it. Like, I support them. It's very cool. There have been one or two, you know, Ivy League players that go on. There's Kevin Booth was a Cornell Big Red, and he went on and won rings with the Giants. So, you know, it's good football. It's just the scene is not the same. You are not doing big Saturday stuff. And I was always away for track meets anyway. So I just never got into it. And then my parents went to small liberal arts schools. They didn't pass down any interest in sports to me. I got it all on my own. So I just have spent 30 plus years being like, oh, whatever. I guess Saturdays are just free day. Just do other things. And the more I have to cover them for national, the more I'm like, all right, if I'm going to be invested in this, not only do I want to care more, but I also realize I'm missing out. Like, it looks really fun.
Yeah,
everybody loves it.
Are.
Everybody is so excited about it. And it comes along and I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. So I'm picking a team and I am doing the college football bachelorette and I get to be the biggest bandwagoner ever. I don't have to make any choices based on anything other than my own personal interest. But I need you to help me to think about when you are in a situation where, you know, you are being wooed, you have to be in it for the right reasons. You have to be ready for love, which I am. I'm ready to fall in love with the team. What are some of the most important things you think I should think about when I get to have a completely blank slate of 24 teams and just choose anyone I want to root for?
So how are these 24 getting chosen to start with? Is it kind of just a random grab bag?
Well, I made a list. I figured they needed to be pretty good because why would I pick a bad team if I can pick from anyone? And then and then a couple that maybe made sense, like because of like UNC, because Mitch Trubisky went there and I'm obsessed with Michael Jordan. So there's like that cool alumni.
I see the connection.
Yeah. So
right,
basically,
so here's
the teams. I'm going to read them to you really quick.
Okay, perfect.
Alabama, University of Michigan, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, Clemson, USC, UCLA, Wisconsin, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Stanford, Miami, Northwestern, Oklahoma, Texas, Ole Miss, West Virginia, Penn State, Georgia, Louisville, UNC.
Got some blue bloods. Okay, here would be my criteria. Here would be my suggestion for you, Sarah. First and foremost, you got to have a winning team. So I'd say you can narrow it down to probably 8 to 10 just based off teams that usually win 10 or more games every year. Because you don't want to be talking to your friend and be rooting for a team that has a chance of losing 4 games a year. That means 4 weekends, all your friends are talking trash to you and you have nothing to say.
So true.
We lie. So that would be first. Second, I would say, and this may be the most important, but I would say make sure the tailgating environment is first class. Because if and when you do go to a game on campus, it's got to be a team that does it right. So some of the SEC schools are big. I'd say don't sleep on Wisconsin because they get after it up in Madison up there, and they're in the Big Ten, and they usually are good every single year. So I would say winning and tailgating got to be at the top of the list if you're picking a team.
Winning and tailgating are both very important. I don't have flat-out winning in my criteria. Each week I use different criteria to kind of cut some away and whittle it down. And winning is not, but I do have the tailgating scene. I do have alumni, cool college traditions, I think. That's a good one. One where you feel like you're connected to, like, history. So I think that's important. When I get into the later weeks, I'm also going to ask fans to submit, like, photos and videos explaining why, you know, their school is the best and what I might be missing. So when I get down to the last three, I'm actually going to have fans submit to take me tailgating with them, and I'm going to go on tail dates to two schools, like the final two, and figure out, like, which is my vibe, like, which one feels more me. And then I'm going to pick
on
college game day.
You know what, too? You should do it where two of the teams that are in your top 25 or whatever are playing each other. So you can do what we call in The Bachelor or Bachelorette, a dreaded two-on-one date.
Ooh,
so you
good
can do
idea.
A tailgate right next to each other, and you can, like, I'm going to step over here and test this food. Oh, that's pretty good, but now I'm going to step over here and have a conversation and test this food while they're watching each other, and then you can just watch them boil, and then you just send someone home right then and there.
Brilliant idea. I almost never had two men fighting over me when I was in college. So if I could get two just young puppy-faced undergrads to be trying to feed me their various smoked meats at once, that really sounds appealing.
With their boat shoes, their polo shirts, and their
shorts, they're going to
be all over it. Just throw them a few koozies at the end, and they'll be
exactly.
Happy.
Bring some ESPN merch.
Yeah. That's a great idea. That sounds really fun. I'm
excited. I'm a little nervous because it's a lot of pressure. One of my first ways of whittling them down is called Batch Don't Kill My Vibe, and that's just like people that don't have a good vibe. Like, I'm not going to pick you, Penn State. Sorry. I got to like the vibe.
You have to. That's really important. Well, let me know if you need any help at the tailgating part of it.
I will
show up. Or, you know what? I'll even dress up as a fan incognito.
Oh, good.
And just, like, be in the background just, like, as a, you know, in case you need any interference rant, or in case you have, like, one or two extra hot dogs, I'll take them.
I should involve you, like, when they invite previous bachelors or bachelorettes to give advice.
Exactly.
When the person's just getting started. That's kind of what we're doing now. Like, you're coming and you're bringing your wealth of knowledge about what it's like to compete and be competed for. So this is all good. This is all good stuff for me to take going forward.
Just make sure that they are recruiting you for the right reason.
That's true. That is true. They can't just want to be on TV. Actually works for both.
It totally does.
You can't just want to be on ESPN. You really have to care about my heart and my.
Which you never know until it's over.
You never
and
know
see what they do afterwards. You know, if they're one of the ones that it starts, you know, promoting the teeth whiteners and the flat tummy tea.
Yeah.
Then they weren't there for the right reason.
That's a good point. Or let's say, like, right after, like, I pledge my love to this team, everybody that took me to their tailgate, like, shows up at a Fox Sports broadcast live on campus. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I thought we had something. Fucked up. Hey, speaking of, I meant to ask you that. What do you make of Ari Neuendijk, or whatever his name is, being the new Bachelor? I heard part of the reason they did it is because the whole Bachelor fam is now doing the teeth whitening and the tummy, whatever. And they wanted someone who didn't seem quite so bought into the, you know, Instagram influencer world.
Yeah, you know what? I've never met him. Now, I will say I had Sean Lowe, the former Bachelor, on my podcast last week because Kansas State, his former alma mater that he played football, and Vandy, my former alma mater, played each other. So we put a little bet on the line, and I also asked him about Ari, and he loves the guy. He said he's awesome. Even if he's made a few mistakes in his past, I think he actually is ready, as I feel like that's the storyline for every Bachelor that comes up. You know, so I don't know anything yet. I imagine he'll be great. I know there's some good and bad reaction, but once the show starts, I feel like everybody always jumps on board because it's just, it's a real experience. I think as much as we know there's some editing involved and some scenarios that may not be completely genuine, it does usually end up in a genuine result, especially if the person's coming on, from the past and someone's been a while since they've been on it. I think he'll be very, very good. But me and Sean put a bet on the line. So if you're on social media this week, he has to put a Vandy temporary tattoo on his lower back, aka a tramp stamp.
Nice.
And post it on social media. So wait for that because that's coming. So Bachelor,
so the bet ended and he lost.
Yeah, Vandy beat Kansas State this week.
What would you have to do?
I would have had to do the same thing. I would have had to put a purple tattoo on my lower back and put that up on the gram.
Next to your actual tattoo back there?
Well, yeah, so I'm glad it was purple colors because it goes really well with the pink unicorn that I have on my lower back already.
Perfect.
So it would have been perfect, yeah.
So you do watch all of the, you watch The Bachelor in Paradises and the other ones, you and JoJo?
You know what's interesting about it? I've never watched a single episode of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Bachelor in Paradise.
Not even your own?
I really haven't. No, so I watched two of my episodes, the first two, and then I didn't watch anything else. So
was that because it was like upsetting, kind of?
No, it just wasn't exactly what happened. So it was a little tough to watch.
Oh, the editing, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, so the editing was frustrating. It wasn't so much that you had trouble watching JoJo smooch a bunch of other people.
No, not at all. And actually, the
you're like, no, that was fine. I was cool with that.
Specifically to watch her smooch a couple people. Like, Wells is one of my good buddies. I was like, yes, I got to see
that. That's great. That is funny, though. Like, if you end up being friends with all of them. I mean, I guess in real life, a lot of friend groups, there's a little bit of, canoodling amongst friends. But,
totally.
if you stick around and you become good friends with the people that your lady used to be smooching.
And,
it's always,
and what people don't realize is that we spend 10 times the amount of time with the guys than we do with her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, each one of the quote-unquote episodes is like 5 or 6 days in our real life, and we get to see her for like one of the days and then maybe part of another day. All the other days we're hanging out with the guys. So you actually end up making some good friends because you spend so much time together.
Did you hear about Bachelor Winter Games?
You know what? I actually just read something about that today, and I remember someone a while back had told me that there was a possibility. I think it's great. And I think what's great about that too is what I was reading today is there's going to be bachelors from like Bachelor in Canada, Japan, Australia.
Yeah. So cool.
Oh, I love it. So we're going to have some great like international Instagram relationships happening between all those people.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the current Bachelor crowd that's already like, they've run through everybody in Bachelor in Paradise from here. They're ready take on like a foreign correspondent,
oh,
if you will.
Oh, it's perfect for him. Absolutely.
And actually, that might be the way to get you tangled back into that franchise because it's competitive and it involves athletics. So, although I guess they probably only will take the single ones because they still need that element of whether or not you might end up in love with the person you're competing against.
Maybe then you know what? Here's a show idea that we can do is the Bachelorette couples that have made it can do like an amazing race.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Like with each, right? So that's what they should do right after. Take like the two that won it, and it's like, hey, you guys just met each other in 2 months. How we're going to really put your relationship to the test.
I think
like an amazing race.
Right. I think they're invested in people staying together. And so that might not be the best idea.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is safe making it through a situation like that. Not to mention those that have just started dating.
Oh, me and JoJo would be at each other because just today we were driving back from somewhere and we were getting kind of lost. And she's like, we were just going back home. And she's like, I'm going to pull it up. I'm like, no, don't. I was like, I kind of like the adventure of trying to figure out where we are. And she's like, no, this is dumb. I'm like, no, I know where we are, even though I didn't. And we're driving around for like 10 or 15 minutes. And finally, I'm like, okay, crap. Okay, look it up.
That's funny.
We were way off. So I don't want to ask for directions or pull up a map. And she's like, let's just get home
typical,
as quick as possible.
Typical
so
man,
we would
yeah.
be a not great amazing rate couple.
Yeah, my sister asked me years ago, and I was like, we would literally murder each other. Like, it would not go well.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your insight. Do you, since I did not put Vandy on that list, do you have a team that you think I should be really keeping an eye on?
You said, I would say Michigan or Wisconsin would be good ones. The Big Ten can get after it. Not only do you have, like, the history of, like, those schools, with Michigan have a ton of history, Wisconsin as well. But the Big Ten people know how to party. They know how to tailgate, even more so than the SEC, and definitely way more than the Pac-12. So scratch Oregon off the list. For one, they got way too many uniforms to keep track of. For two, they don't know how to tailgate like the Big Ten and the SEC.
All right. That's a good note. And those teams are close to me. There's a lot of Michigan and Wisconsin people
Perfect.
In Chicago. So those are good places that I can, like, hop on. There's tons of bars that are, you know. All right. This is a good start. Good luck to you. Good luck to me, and we will powwow later on in the season as I continue to try to find love.
Yeah, let me know when you have the 2-on-1 tailgating date. I'll be there.
All right, thanks
so
much,
Jordan. I'll be the drunk guy with the funnel.
Oh, I can't wait. Man.
Thanks, Kara.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
See ya.
And, of course, I'll have to have Jordan back another time to talk some more and to do the Spanish Inquisition. Thanks again to him for finding some time to chat with me. Super excited about this project.
Oh, and another thing.
This week on That's What She Read, this is a story from The Atlantic, and it's totally not sports related. I was just reading it, and I was fascinated by it, so I thought I'd pass it along. The headline is, Scientists Can Now Repaint Butterfly Wings. And it's by Ed Yong, Y-O-N-G. So you can search for it on The Atlantic. And I just wanted to read a little segment of it and kind of give you a little taste of why I found it so interesting. Biologists have long been smitten by butterflies, and not just for their pretty colors. These insects are perfect subjects for addressing two of the most fundamental questions in the study of evolution. First, where do new things come from? Butterflies all evolved from a moth ancestor. So how did a presumably dull-winged insect give rise to a kaleidoscopic dynasty of some 18,000 species, each with a distinctive pattern of colors and shapes plastered on its wings? Also, what are the genes behind these patterns? How did a limited set of DNA come to produce patterns of such astonishing diversity and often baffling complexity? Many scientists have addressed that second question by carrying out painstaking crossbreeding experiments and by working out where in the wings various genes are active. They identified a handful of pattern-defining genes with colorful names like optics, double sex, and cortex. Without the ability to delete the genes and see if their absence changed the butterfly wings, scientist Reed said, we didn't have final proof of exactly what these genes were doing. This was a frustrating wall that I've been banging my head against. Well, they found this technique called CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R. And researchers just in the last 5 years have figured out how to cut and edit DNA. And it's amazing. They've done it with probing the weakness of cancer cells, finding out how bodies are built, how feet evolve from fins. And they've been doing it in these butterflies and figuring out how they can consistently change. So if they delete the optics gene in a wide variety of butterflies, the red parts turn black. If they transform another gene, it becomes goes from vivid orange into dark, inky black. And so it's really cool to discover how they can manipulate the genes in all different species and use these systems going forward. So anyway, I highly recommend reading it. It's just a fascinating look. And I think anytime you can see evolution on a small and more rapid scale, like you can see with the cichlid fish in Africa, where they evolve over like short generations. So you can see it happening within your own lifetime. It's super fascinating and tells us so much about all the things that we've learned about evolution on a larger and longer scale. So anyway, it's called Scientists Can Now Repaint Butterfly Wings. It's by Ed Yong in The Atlantic. If you want to check it out, thanks as always for lasting about an hour with me.
That's what she said.